You'll open your Bibles to the book of James, chapter 5. This is, it's right there. I wrote it down wrong for you. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 20. So if you'll open your Bible to there at that time, Jay is going to read it for us. Please follow along.
If anyone among you is in trouble, let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins.
Amen. This text describes three challenges that every Christian has in common. Trouble, and it's kind of a progression here. Weakness and sin. How many of you have faced trouble recently that at the time you just didn't know how you were going to deal with it? Maybe you felt you would, but you just weren't sure what was going to happen to bring an end to that trouble or how you deal with that trouble. How many of us have faced weakness recently? I ought to be able to deal with this, but I can't, and I've stumbled and I'm weak. Lord, give me strength. I don't know that I can do this. I certainly can't face it alone. How many of us have wandered from the truth? A departure from what we knew was right, but it wasn't what we wanted to do. We wanted to go a different direction because that felt better, or that was more of what we wanted personally. And what we need to hear is when we wander from the truth is, and Todd has referred to this morning, is sin is not the end. It need not be the end. The cross is there for us. And it's not, the Christian life is not a roller coaster ride. The cross brings a consistency that calls us to humility when things are high, and to understanding and grace when they're low. We need to be around people, James is saying, who call us to be better people. To be the Christian that we know we need to be. That I want to be, but I need help. I need encouragement. And when it comes to these things, when it comes to trouble, or when it comes to weakness, or when it comes to sin, if you answered no to any of those things, then you've got another problem, and that's being hugely dishonest with yourself. Folks, this is why the church, we meet on a weekly basis. Because there is not a single week that goes by that you and I don't need the kingdom family in our life. Not a single week. As I said last Sunday, this is not an optional situation. This is not a responsibility that we are consider a casual responsibility. There's not a single week that goes by that we don't need peace, and we don't need strength, and we don't need forgiveness. And the reassurance by other people who feel the same way we do that those things are real. We've come together this morning and we've been praising God and we've been praying. And those things are important. We've acknowledged that Jesus is real, and we've acknowledged and remembered what He did for us. But if this passage teaches us anything, there's another thing that is to take place when we come together. And that is that we are to get personal. We can sit in a pew and we can look at the back of someone else's head, but I really think that maybe just maybe this needs to take place more. The meet and greet, talking to people about their needs and just praying for each other. And we will do this. That's something wonderful about the life groups. Todd's group met last night. And you get personal. You talk about things that are more intimate and the needs that you have at a more comfortable level. And maybe we could even do some of that here on occasion. I really think there's a need for that. Because we've come together today to praise God, but we've also come together to get real with each other. By listening to our brothers and sisters speak of their struggles and their victories, their fears and their sin, their frights and their hopes, this creates a bond that strengthens the bond we have with the Lord. Folks, I really know that's true, that if we can strengthen this bond we have with each other, it strengthens our bond that we can have with God, and vice versa. And we may think, well, people don't want to hear about my struggles. They don't want to hear about my weaknesses. And the truth is, some of us probably aren't very comfortable talking about our weaknesses. We need to take our faith to the gym once in a while, folks. We need to take our faith to the gym. And that's kind of what this is. A lot of people drive by the gyms and they look at them and say, well, exercise is taking place there, but I'm not going in. And some people drive by church buildings and they never go in. And I don't know about this. I've been in gyms before, not lately. But I would ask you, do you go to a gym to sit in a chair in a corner and watch others exercise? Do we go to the gym and just engage in discussions about exercise? Or maybe there's an exercise class and we go to the class, but then we don't go to the equipment. Do we go to the gym and just read a book that's about exercise? Some people go to church that way. But let's revisit our text for today. James chapter 5, verse 13 through 30. I think you're going to find some surprising things here. Is any one of you in trouble? The Greek word for trouble means misfortune. Is any one of you facing hardships? If any one of you is in trouble, let them pray, says. Troubles can be like wind speed. Some troubles are a slight breeze. Some are a strong breeze. And some of our storms can only be classified as category 1, 2, 3, and 4, like this guy. Some of our struggles are light and momentary. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, Paul says, when you compare them to the glory that awaits us, all those troubles, no matter how severe, all that trouble, when compared to our glory that awaits us, they're all light and momentary. But now, you know, I can't speak for you, but I've faced some troubles recently that they didn't seem very light. And they didn't seem very momentary. And I know they are compared to the glory that awaits me, but I needed encouragement, and I got encouragement. Because I was open to it. The thing is, folks, what James is talking about here is we were never meant to face troubles alone. God in His infinite wisdom has given us this support group that we come in and we sit in the middle of it every week, but we don't tap into the resources that God wanted to make available to us. We regularly get together. We come out of the world, and let's just call this a huddle. We huddle together. I went and got some pictures. This is a huddle. Emperor penguins. They survive for crazy cold temperatures for months at a time by getting in a huddle. And they rotate. The ones on the outside face the brunt of the cold wind, but they rotate in, and the ones on the outside now will eventually work their way into the center, and the center comes out, and everybody shares the burden, everybody shares the load. The church is that kind of huddle too. There are weaknesses that we have and struggles that we face. But then we're made strong by them and we're able to help others that have those same struggles. And sometimes we're on the outside facing the pain of it all, but then there are other times when we're on the inside and we feel the comfort of the group. Some huddles are like this. We meet and we get together and we make our plan. Where are you going? Where are you going? This is what we're going to do. Let's all get on the same page. Sometimes the church is like that kind of huddle, where we kind of focus and this is what we're going to do for right now, and we all need to get involved and everybody got what everybody else is doing so that we all accomplish the goal of this play. And then sometimes the huddle is just about friendship. It's just about enjoying one another. It's just about getting close. It's about having fun together and understanding that, yeah, there's a lot of pain in the world, but we have something that is so much greater than all of that. We all talk to God about our troubles in private. But when our church family prays for us, when they know what to pray, when we bring our combined prayer to bear on something that somebody's struggling with, and we can find that corporate combined strength, that can give meaning to us and help to us and comfort to us. James says these kinds of prayers are powerful and effective when you don't just pray alone, but you have somebody else praying with you and for you, that you respect, that's a righteous person. Solomon talks about this principle in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12. When he says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, but a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. And so just two or three is helpful. Can you imagine a cord that is woven together and has 50 or 75 or 100 or 150 different strands all woven together? That's bound to make Satan quake with fear. How can I deal with that? How am I going to attack that? Oh, he'll still try. But the church is meant to be a cord like that, folks. Every trouble in our life should be like a coin. The trouble is on one side, but the opposite side of that coin is prayer. Connection to God, a relationship with God, and a relationship with my fellow prayer warriors. So James says, is anyone happy? The Greek word for happy is cheerful, good spirits. If you're happy, then sing a song of praise. Now, I sing a lot. I sing a lot by myself. And when I'm by myself, I imagine that I sound like Garth Brooks or Pavarotti. In reality, I probably sound like Kermit or Yoda. I've always wanted to work Yoda into my sermon somehow or other. There you go. When we're happy, folks, we sing. Don't we? And solos are fine, but there's something wonderful about sharing my joy with a chorus of other voices whose hearts are happy as well. And four-part harmony sounds nice, but the real joy in our singing is the purpose of it, the joy of it. The connection that we have in that chorus of lifting our voices together to God. We may not think about it often, but together is one of the most beautiful words in any language. I don't know how you say together in German or French or Chinese, but any language it is, in order for it to be together, there has to be a get together. Together. At some level. We get together and we remind each other of the source of our happiness. James has already said in James chapter 1 and verse 17, every good and perfect gift comes from God. And some of the songs that we've sang this morning already have talked about that. We've recognized that together, that we're so blessed and our blessings come from the Father. We remembered the blessing when we gather around. We call that the Lord's table. That's not the Lord's. It's just a table. But we remember the life and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus and what it means to us. I don't say this often enough, but one of God's greatest blessings to me is you. I don't tell you often enough, Miss Anita, how much you mean to me. How much you mean to this whole church family. Kenny Hamlet, I love you. You mean a lot to me. You mean a lot to this church family. And I could go down every pew and every row and say that to everybody. God's greatest blessing to me in this world, besides my wife and family, is this family. We don't recognize that enough with each other. We don't say that enough to each other. We're sitting in the middle of our greatest earthly blessing. Do we understand that? Do we feel that this morning? Then James says, Is anyone among you sick? Now, I want to point out something here. And I think people look at this verse in the wrong way. The Greek word for sick, asteneia, can mean sick, but that's not its primary meaning. The primary meaning of this Greek word is weakness. Is anyone among you weak? Call for the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil. I don't believe there's anything medicinal about this situation. This is a blessing. This is a prayer. This is a blessing of anointing, or anointing of blessing in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the weak person stronger. And the Lord will lift them up. And if their weakness has led to sin, they will be forgiven. That's why they've gone to the elders of the church. They're not physicians. And I really think that the next verse is what really puts it in context. The context of weakness rather than illness. Verse 16, therefore, which connects this statement to the previous statements, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed, that is made whole through forgiveness. But this entire narrative, this entire context is really about spiritual power. The power of the you, me, and God team. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It's not that our personal, private prayers aren't. But then I go back to that many-stranded cord of Solomon's. When I bring you into my weakness, when I bring you into my problem, when I bring you into what I'm struggling with, I gain power from that because you share in my burden and you share in helping me. The example that James uses for power is intriguing. Hit too many. Verse 17, Elijah was a human being, even as we are, James says. You're not Elijah, but you're a human being, and so was Elijah. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and you know what? It didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed that it rained, and the heavens opened up and gave their rain, and the earth produced its crops. Elijah wasn't powerful, but his God was. I'm not powerful, but my God is. Same God, different person. you as well. It's kind of interesting. In the, we have a preacher's meeting quarterly, some of the more non-traditional Church of Christ preachers in the area. It was here in Farmington this past Tuesday. We always talk about a lot of interesting things. We talk about old books we're reading, sermons that we're preaching, needs. We share needs and confidentiality that we have. And it's a valuable, helpful time to us all. But one of the ministers was mentioning something he was doing. He talked about a Bible class where he asked, never before asked questions from the Bible. I thought that was interesting. And he went to this text in 1 Kings chapter 18 of Elijah at Mount Carmel. And how Elijah called upon the Jezebel's priests of Baal to call for their God to call down fire and burn up their sacrifice. He never did. Somebody tell me why.
He's not there.
He ain't there. Nobody's home. They're praying to an empty sky. Their God can't light the fire because he ain't there. Elijah, on the other hand, he had them, and here was the question. He put the altar, the sacrifice on the altar. He poured water on the sacrifice, water on the altar. He even dug a trench around the altar and filled it with water. And the never before asked question was, where did he get the water? In the middle of a drought, where water is likely almost as, after 3.5 years, is almost as precious as jewels, where did he get the water? I never thought about that before, have you? Someone in the class that he was teaching said, well, probably from the temples of Baal, because those priests weren't going to need it anymore, were they? James' point is that the 3.5 year drought only happened because Elijah asked God for it. And it only ended when he asked God for that. Now, James's point is not about droughts. It's not about moving mountains or some other supernatural feat. His point is God's willingness to help us in our journey as we walk through this world and try to bring as many people with us to heaven as we can. You may say, well, Stan, but I'm no Elijah. Well, I'm not either. But God wants to use you, and he wants to use me in the same way for the same reason. Now, I'm not saying fire's going to come down from heaven and light anything up. But God wants to use us, if we'll allow him to. James has already said here in the letter in chapter 4, verse 2, the only reason you don't have is because you haven't asked. And when you do ask, you ask selfishly for your own needs. It's a reminder to pray unselfish prayers. And when we do, unselfish prayers are going to help God's purpose in someone else's life and in a way that's going to advance the kingdom. Do you believe that God doesn't want to answer that? To help you with that? He will. And it's a reminder that our motives are as important as the deed itself. We can even mess up something we want to do that's good. And I've messed up plenty of things in my life. We can even mess something up. But if our motive is pure and our desire was right, God still loves that in us. The stumbling wasn't God's fault. The stumbling wasn't that. It was me. But he wants us to be involved. He wants us to seek that kind of purpose and direction. James closes his letter by calling us all to watch out for the spiritual welfare of everyone in our Christian family. Some of us have been coming to church here for many years. I know I've been here 8 years. I'll be starting number 9, January 1. And some of us still don't know each other very well. We need to remedy that. We need to get to know each other better. In verse 19, James says, my brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this, whoever turns a sinner from the error of their ways will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. Whoever turns a sinner from error. The wanderer is me. The wanderer is you. The someone who brings them back is me. And the someone who brings them back is you. In this case, it's not just the elders. It's all of us looking out for each other. All of us who care. These verses are about all of us watching out for all the rest of us. And we need to back up to verse 16, which says, confess your sins to each other. Let me close with this thought. We're all doctors. We're not the cure. We're not the medicine. But if we care enough to listen to another person, and if they will honestly describe their ailment to us, then we can help. But we've got to know what it is. If you won't describe what ails you to the doctor, if you don't speak of your hurt, the doctor will never be able to prescribe a treatment. When I go to see Dr. Dale Jones, the first thing he says is, "What's going on, Stan?" "Well, this thing or that thing, and this is this, I feel this, and I feel it here, and all of that, and this is happening." But I don't just go in and sit down and say, "Well, I'm sick, Doc." "Well, what's the problem, Stan?" "Well, I'm just sick." I think we need to get more specific and real about what our problems and weaknesses and difficulties and struggles are with each other. "Well, I just want you to pray for me." I see this a lot on Facebook. My sister posted one of these yesterday. "Need prayers for a nameless thing." I got to call her. "What is this nameless thing? Tell me what it is. I'll pray for you to have strength, but I want to help. Let me be a part of it." She's got some family struggles. We all have them, don't we? Maybe they're different in some ways, but I don't just go into the doctor and say, "Doctor, I'm sick." We need to open up with each other. We need to get personal. James is talking about this here. Let's be a family. Let's get personal. Let's connect. Let's understand what's going on in each other's lives. Let's know each other and be that kind of family. Well, I'm out of time. We're going to sing a song together. This is just a plea, folks. Just a plea for us to acknowledge what God has brought us together for. Yes, we want to sing. Yes, we want to pray. Yes, we want to remember. But God says, "Yes, I need you guys to be a family. I need you guys to feel the needs of other people and feel like you can trust other people with your needs and your problems, and your victories, by all means." I believe the church needs to spend more time doing that than we do. I think that would be greatly helpful and bless us all.